The title of our message this morning is called Faithfulness. And our text is from Luke chapter 16, 10 through 17. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." Amen. What powerful word of God. This message will cover four areas. First, the faithfulness of what we have been given in verses 10 through 12. Second, a call to a decision in verse 13. Third, an example of coveting from verses 14 and 15. And lastly, the everlasting word of God, verses 16 and 17. Luke 16, 10 through 12. He who is faithful in a little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Oh, there's powerful scripture here in these first two verses. Christ is teaching us on faithfulness. Our text is talking about our life, not somebody else's, but our life. First, it's important to know, as believers in Jesus Christ, all that we have, all that we are given, are gifts of God. And we need to give him credit for those things. We are responsible to God for how we use his gifts. Our first point, our first verse, is a law of God. If we are faithful in little things, we'll be faithful in big things, and vice versa. If we are unrighteous or unfaithful in little things, we'll be unrighteous or unfaithful in big things. In verse 11, Christ gives us an example of verse 10. If we do a good job in little things, we will do a good job in big things. And the reverse is true. If we do a poor job in little things, we'll do a poor job in big things. If we are not faithful in use of unrighteous mammon, which is worldly riches or money, how can we handle spiritual riches and treasures? Money is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:10. Money is a spiritual matter. You are responsible not only for giving it, but for investing it where it would do the best and yield the most for Christ. God has spiritual treasures for us to claim. I have a couple of precious verses here. The first verse is 1 Corinthians 1:5, which says that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. God blesses us with wisdom. It's of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Oh, this is a precious verse. We see it around us. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet as making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. So many truths here. Even in the verse part one. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Maybe some of you experience a loss of a person. But with that loss, can you experience rejoicing? That's what the verse says. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. What precious verses that these verses are talking about being content, having contentment. As it says in 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to be content with what God gives us. God blesses us. We all too often miss the spiritual treasures around us. There are so many things happening around us, and we take them for granted and do not realize that it's God at work in us. In Luke 6:12, God gives another example of unfaithfulness. He says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I am sure each of you have experienced this, or at least you know of it. Have you had a friend or relative who wants to use something of yours? They even ask you to bring it over, and it's never returned. Or you must go and get it. This is an example of unfaithfulness or breach of trust and spiritual failure. It is. God wants us to be faithful in little things because it leads to being faithful in big things. That is a law of God. Verse 13 now is a call to make a decision. We cannot serve both God and riches. We cannot serve both God and money. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 says this, see, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his judgments. That's the commandment for us. To love the Lord and to walk, keep his statutes and walk in his ways. Our second point is that God wants us to choose Him through faith in Jesus Christ. If we choose Christ, we will have everlasting life. As it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a promise of God, our Almighty God. If we believe in Jesus, we are promised everlasting, eternal life. If we do not choose Christ through faith, we have death. That's a promise of God. If we do not choose Christ Jesus, we are choosing death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says this, and death and Hades, which is hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. This is hell. If we do not choose Christ, we choose hell in a lake of fire. There's one or there's the other. God does not want us to be double-minded. loving the world rather than loving Him. We can't love both. You cannot love both God and the world. In Mark 8:36 it says, we are told, for what does it profit a man if he was to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What is important is Jesus Christ and not worldly riches. We're to put God first and love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You can't do both. Where is your heart? Who do you serve? I love it what Joshua said. And Joshua says it best. In Joshua 24:15, here's what he says. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served and that on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But for me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Can you say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, I can see it. Yes, that's what's so powerful. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How precious that is. Joshua decided whom he would serve. And God wants you to decide today who you will serve. The God of heaven or the God of the world, Satan. Either you serve God or you serve Satan. Our third point in Luke 16:14 is that we have an example of coveting. Oh, does this verse speak? It has such power in it. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things and they derided him. First, the Pharisees were lovers of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. This is an example of the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? They were the leaders of the churches. And what does it say to them? The Pharisees loved money and despised Christ Jesus. They were lovers of themselves. Verse 15 goes on and says this. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What a powerful verse. He says this right to the Pharisees, right to the leaders of the churches. And there are leaders of churches today that this could be said to. The Pharisees were self-righteous. They had an outward appearance pleasing to man, but were filled with sin and abominations in the sight of God. This is important. The Lord Jesus cares more about our motives and our love and not so much about what profession we have. He cares more about our motives and our love for Him and not about what profession we have. He can see our heart. It says in Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. That's a command for us. That's a command. And it goes on in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do to the glory of God. When we're out working, when we're riding, when we're driving, we're talking to someone, to the glory of God. I've always said, when it comes to really true fellowship, you're talking about Christ. If you're visiting with people and you're talking about the weather, you're really not having fellowship until you're talking about Christ. That is important for us to understand. And when you do that, oh, does a growth and a love start to appear. It really does. God knows our hearts. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. God knew the hearts of the Pharisees, and God knows our hearts also. We can put up a false front with each other, but not with God. We cannot measure up to God's standards. We need to love Him. We need to love Jesus Christ, our Christ Jesus, with all of our heart. And we need to love the Holy Spirit with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Our fourth point is that God is faithful. Verse 17 is about the everlasting Word of God. It says, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the law to fail. It's easier for than heaven and earth to pass away than one stroke of God's word to fail. What a powerful word of God. What a powerful word of God we can stand upon. What filled with promises that we can stand upon, because they're not going to fail. God knows our hearts, and He wants us to love Him. What a powerful word of God we have and been given. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. His word is settled in heaven. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, word of our God stands forever. God's word stands forever. And when God's word says that He loves you and that He promises and He's got promises for you that He'll keep you forever, that does not fail. As we look through Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 30 and 31 through 39. It says in 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then it finishes up with 39, that no one can separate us from the love of God. No one can separate you from the love of God once you come to know Him. Well, that's for another day. I just added that in there, but that's powerful that we need to know that. God keeps His word and God keeps His children forever. Did you hear that? God will keep His word and God will keep His children forever. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now listen to this last part. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our Almighty God keeps us. It says we are kept. No matter what you do, you are kept by the power of Almighty God. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Son of God, you are His child. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are a new creation in Christ, and we are kept by Almighty God. There is nothing you can do where you're no longer a child of God. That's what this scripture says. And that's what so much scripture says. And what you need to do is praise God for that. Praise God that you are His child. And you are His child forever. God's word is unchanging. He loves us and wants us to love Him as we're told by Christ in Matthew 22:37, the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He wants us to love Him with our entire being. And nothing is put ahead of Him. God's love is everlasting. As Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. God's loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. It's for eternity. Isn't that precious? That God loves you throughout all eternity. Oh, how God loves us with an everlasting love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the word that you've given to us, all the promises you've given to us. We thank you, God, for the love that you have for us. How precious that is for us to understand that your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, Father, we praise you, God, that you are our almighty God. You are an everlasting God, and you love us. We just thank you that the Holy Spirit has allowed us to know that love. We love you. We love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's please stand for our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us